How well do they know me? Wondered Ender. Well enough to know how often I have thought of death, to know that I am not afraid of it. Well enough to know that even if I feared death, it would not stop me from taking that mirror from the wall. He walked to the mirror, lifted, pulled away. Nothing jumped from the space behind it. Instead, in a hollowed-out place, there was a white ball of silk with a few frayed strands sticking out here and there. An egg? No. The pupa of a queen bugger, already fertilized by the larval males, ready, out of her own body, to hatch 100,000 buggers, including a few queens and males. Ender could see in his mind the slug-like males clinging to the walls of a dark tunnel, and the large adults carrying the infant queen to the mating room. Each male in turn penetrated the larval queen, shuddered in ecstasy, and died, dropping to the tunnel floor and shriveling. Then the new queen was laid before the old, a magnificent creature clad in soft and shimmering wings which had long since lost the power of flight but still contained the power of majesty. The old queen kissed her to sleep with the gentle poison in her lips, then wrapped her in threads from her belly and commanded her to become herself, to become a new city, a new world, to give birth to many queens and many worlds. How do I know this? Thought Ender. How can I see these things like memories in my own mind? As if in answer, he saw the first of all his battles with the bugger fleets. He had seen it before on the simulator. Now he saw it as the Hive Queen saw it, through many different eyes. The buggers formed their globe of ships, and then the terrible fighters came out of the darkness, and the little doctor destroyed them in a blaze of light. He felt, then, what the Hive Queen felt, watching through her workers' eyes as death came to them too quickly to avoid, but not too quickly to be anticipated. There was no memory of pain or fear, though. What the Hive Queen felt was sadness, a sense of resignation. She had not thought these words as she saw the humans coming to kill, but it was in words that Ender understood her. The humans did not forgive us, she thought. We will surely die. How can you live again? He asked. The queen in her silken cocoon had no words to give back, but when he closed his eyes and tried to remember, instead of memory came new images. Putting the cocoon in a cool place, a dark place, but with water, so she wasn't dry, so that certain reactions could take place in the cocoon. Then time, days and weeks, for the pupa inside to change. And then, when the cocoon had changed to a dusty brown color, Ender saw himself splitting open the cocoon and helping the small and fragile queen emerge. He saw himself taking her by the forelimb and helping her walk from her birth water to a nesting place, soft with dried leaves on sand. Then I am alive, came the thought in his mind. Then I am awake. Then I make my 10,000 children. No, said Ender, I can't. Anguish. Your children are the monsters of our nightmares now. If I awoke you, we would only kill you again. There flashed through his mind a dozen images of human beings being killed by buggers, but with the image came a grief so powerful he could not bear it, and he wept their tears for them. If you could make them feel as you can make me feel, then perhaps they could forgive you. Only me, he realized. They found me through the Ansible, followed it, and dwelt in my mind. In the agony of my tortured dreams, they came to know me even as I spent my days destroying them. They found my fear of them, and found also that I had no knowledge I was killing them. In the few weeks they had, they built this place for me, and the giant's corpse, and the ledge at the end of the world, so I would find this place by the evidence of my eyes. I am the only one they know, and so they can only talk to me and through me. We are like you, the thought pressed into his mind. We did not mean to murder, and when we understood, we never came again. We thought we were the only thinking beings in the universe until we met you, but never did we dream that thought could arise from the lonely animals who cannot dream each other's dreams. How were we to know we could live with you in peace? Believe us, believe us, believe us. He reached into the cavity and took out the cocoon. It was astonishingly light, to hold all the hope and future of a great race within it. "I'll carry you," said Ender. "I'll go from world to world until I find a time and a place where you can come awake in safety. And I'll tell your story to my people, so that perhaps in time they can forgive you too, the way that you've forgiven me."